Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, we actually had to hold your calls for the time being. We have with us a columnist. We see his columns up on newswithviews.com and other internet sites. His name is Garland Favorito, and we were going to talk a little bit about some of the things he'd written about the FBI and the fact that, you know, after the 9-1-1 attack, the FBI agents who did everything wrong and actually facilitated the attack were promoted and rewarded and given bonuses. Now, why would you do something like that? That foolish, unintentionally. Why was nobody held responsible for what happened? Well, we can ask many, many questions to Garland, but really it's important that you get yourself a computer, that you get on the internet. Now, there's a lot of disinformation. The CIA and the intelligence agencies are putting material up there that is frankly false, but eventually you begin to realize and recognize who you can trust and who you can't trust, and who the people are who are responsible, and who are the people who are trying to confuse you and mislead you and get you off the track. And putting information onto the internet designed to confuse. But I believe that Garland Favorito is a patriot. He's getting information up there, doing a great job. And remember, you'll often find his articles on newswithviews.com or on his website. Garland, thank you so much for being with us. Garland, are you there? Garland Favorito, are you there? Well, I don't know why we're not hearing him. But I wonder if we could have, Garland, did we lose you? I'm going to ask my my secretary to my producer to call him back again, because we don't seem to be hearing him unless there's something wrong over here. Garland, why don't you just speak up? All right, well, Garland isn't coming through. So if our go ahead and I'll ask our producer to go ahead and call Garland back again. Hopefully we can get him on the line and find out what if there is a problem there. But under any circumstances, you know, we have often heard, oh, you know, the reason that we had 911 is because the CIA couldn't talk to the FBI and the FBI couldn't talk to the CIA. And that simply is not true. Those of you who heard my interviews with I.C. Smith, who was a top FBI agent and certainly an assistant agent in charge of a number of very important positions, he told me that he was talking to the CIA all the time. He had lots of opportunities to talk to the CIA. I'm going to ask my producer to get Garland Favorito back on the line here, because we seem to have lost him. But, you know, one of the most significant things, and one of the things that I was able to turn up, you probably have heard how, of course, the FBI office up in Minnesota, you know, had found Zacharias Massui, and they were concerned. Of course, he was learning how to fly a 747, but he didn't want to know how to take off or land. He just wanted to know how to fly it. And even the flight instructor thought he might be a terrorist. And then, of course, we had the counterpart of that, and that would be the fact that there was somebody down in Phoenix who was writing to the FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C., and saying, you know, there's so many people of Islamic origin who are involved in flight training. I think that maybe they're flight training for a specific purpose, maybe to be terrorists. And they said that nobody was connecting the dots. Well, they were connecting the dots, because I personally talked to the woman who ran the Airman's Flight School in Norman, Oklahoma. And contrary to everything you have heard from the media, why the FBI was there at least 10 days before 9-1-1, asking about Zacharias Massui, who somehow was tied into Nicholas Berg, who was decapitated in Iraq. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And of course, we want to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. Our guest this afternoon is Garland Favorito. Garland, are you there? Well, we're going to have to ask to get the engineer out here because we don't seem to be able to be hearing our caller. Garland, are you there? So Garland is there, but we can't hear him. So I'm going to ask our producer to call our engineer and get him. And hopefully, Garland, you just hang on the line there and we'll be able to get to you very, very shortly. But the significant thing that we were talking about, and Garland is going to talk about today, was the fact that we're told that the FBI, they didn't know what they were doing. They were inept. They were bumbling idiots. And I don't believe that for one minute. I believe that this was planned long ahead of time. And the fact that I know why I can't hear him, because we're, there we are. Let's see if we, we should be able to hear Garland. We're not hearing Garland. So let's see if we can find out what's going on. I'm going to let my engineer take the headphones, and Garland, you just hang on there. Under any circumstances, why we know that the FBI agents who were involved in this whole debacle were actually promoted and rewarded. And why would you do that if this was a mistake? Well, it wasn't a mistake. I think they knew exactly what they were doing. Why do I believe that? Because there is a report that was put out by Paul Bremer approximately a year before the 911 attack, and it was called National Commission on Terrorism, I believe it is. We have copies of it. If any of you out there would like to actually to see that report, it is available. And we need, of course, to have you understand that the whole beginning of this report starts out talking about Pearl Harbor and how Pearl Harbor happened because everybody was just totally inept. Nobody knew what they were doing. And had they known what they were doing, why, there wouldn't have been Pearl Harbor, but people wouldn't talk to one another. And exactly the same scenario that was used after 911 was used to justify this incredible happens. We'll be right back in just a moment. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course we're having a little technical difficulty, but we were talking about something called the Bremer Report, and this was a report that was put out. Garland, are you there? All right, Garland, just sort of hang on. We've got our engineer is hard at it, and hopefully, let's see if hopefully our engineer will be with us. Well, we lost Garland again. So anyway, we're going to try to get him back on, and we're not getting some of the things going out through our regular channels. There we seem to be all right. Let's hope that that will do it, that we'll have Garland with us in just a moment, and we won't be fading in and out. So right now, of course, we want to point out that I believe that there was a master plan. I believe that they knew what was going to happen, and they did nothing to stop the terrorists from attacking. That's a terrible thing to say, but you see, how else were they going to get us into a war? They got us into World War II because of Pearl Harbor, and once they had Pearl Harbor, why, of course, then they mobilized the people, and we went to war with Japan, and we went to war with Germany, but, of course, most people had forgotten the fact that we'd been building up Japan before the Second World War. And, of course, it was American banks and American corporations that worked with Adolf Hitler during the war. And if you have not yet read Professor Sutton's work, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, or his book, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, or my video interview with him, why you need to get it. Garland, are you there?
Yes, I am, Stan. And thank you so much for having me on again. It's an honor to be back on your show, and I just really appreciate everything you're doing out there.
Well, why don't you tell us just a little bit about the background of this article you wrote on the FBI, and really, so much of this just doesn't make sense unless there is another plan behind what's going on. We've got some wonderful FBI agents, but it would appear that the people at the very top are rather corrupt.
Well, absolutely, and just to kind of do a lead-in to, I'd like to kind of follow on to your points that you were making earlier about how war is created for profit. And we've learned now, for example, in World War II, that German intelligence has found that FDR was warned of Pearl Harbor on November 26th from Winston Churchill. And that was after the British had intercepted Admiral Yamamoto's communications. The Germans had actually intercepted Winston Churchill's communications. That has all come out. You move forward in time to the Vietnam War, and you have the Gulf of Tonkin incident, the false incident where the U.S. claimed, particularly Lyndon Johnson, that they had been attacked in the Gulf of Tonkin by the North Vietnamese. We learn later, of course, that that never actually happened, and 58,000 of our young men died over there in Vietnam. So, and then as you mentioned earlier, just a minute ago, Anthony Sutton's book, The Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, basically he's talked about how Wall Street funded the rise of Adolf Hitler, and incremental in that was Prescott Bush, who had four different companies that he managed and directed for Averell Harriman. All of their assets were seized in 1942 under the Trading with the Enemy Act because they were funding and profiting from the Nazi rise to power. And World War II, actually, while World War II was going on, they were doing that. So the precedent I think that you're talking about here has been set. These leaders have profited from war. They will create war, and it's proven over decades that they will do this. So that leads us into the question of 9/11. Would they, in fact, do that again for various motives of profit?
Well, of course, the profits are going to come from war, but there may be other agendas as well as profit behind what's going on today. But
exactly.
Be that as it may, there seems to be very little question that they knew an attack was coming. Anybody who's read the August 6th memo knows it says Bin Laden determined to attack the United States. Now, of course, you get any report of an attack, immediately, why we go from yellow to orange to red, and oh my goodness, we got to tell all the American people about this terrible danger. And then it turns out, oh shucks, there really wasn't any danger there at all. But they knew an attack was coming. There's no question they knew the attack was coming. So what did they do?
Well,
they did absolutely nothing. That's the incredible thing. They could have mobilized the National Guard. They could have had the people serving in the airports at that time on an emergency basis. They could have had National Guard soldiers on every airplane. They could have had our military on alert. You mean to tell me they knew an attack was coming and the missile batteries were deactivated in Washington, D.C. to defend the Pentagon, that we withdrew from service the planes at Andrews Air Force Base just two minutes away from downtown Washington, D.C., that spending $40 billion a year on defense, we did not have any defense for our nation's capital? Is anybody really that foolish to believe that when we knew an attack was coming?
Well, that's right. And just I wanted to add to your point. You mentioned the August 6th memo, and just to further corroborate that, let's talk also and mention the September 1999 CIA Sociology and Psychology of Terrorism report. Now, on May 17, 2002, Condoleezza Rice said that, "I don't think anybody could have predicted these people would take an airplane and slam it into the WTC or try to use a hijacked airplane as a missile." Well, 1 week after that, all of a sudden, the September 99 CIA report was widely distributed, and in it was a paragraph that specifically said that suicide bombers belonging to Al-Qaeda's Martyrdom Battalion could crash land an aircraft packed with high explosives into the Pentagon, CIA headquarters, or the White House. Those are both direct quotes that unfortunately prove that Ms. Rice was, in fact, not telling the truth.
Well, let me just point out that I have right in my hand the August 6th memo, which we'll be glad to send to any of our listeners that would like the copy of it. And it says, next to the last paragraph, "Nevertheless, FBI information since that time," referring to several weeks ago, "indicates patterns of suspicious activity in this country consistent with the preparation for hijackings or other types of attacks, including a recent surveillance of federal buildings in New York." So, you know, here they're talking about hijackings, you know, and obviously they're talking about hijacking of planes. And this was August 6th. Why would Condoleezza Rice lie? Well, of course, they could not let the American people know that they knew the attack was coming, and they left those people there to die, that they told the people in the South Tower not to leave, or they could look out the windows and see the flames and the smoke from the North Tower and people jumping out the windows, and everybody in the South Tower was ordered over the loudspeaker to stay at their seats. Why would they do that when they knew there was another plane coming and it was heading right for New York City? But nobody ever wants to ask any of those questions.
That's right, Stan, and except for the families of the victims. And the New York, you're referring to there, the New York Port Authority actually told them, instructed them to stay there where they were, and they have determined that the New York Port Authority had an open line to the FAA. They knew the second plane was on its way bearing down on the WTC and instructed them, to the people, to stay in their offices.
And of course, they really intended them to die. Now, remember, right after the attack, they kept saying 6,000 people died in the Twin Towers. 6,000 people died. 6,000 people died. Well, maybe it was 5,500. Maybe it was 5,000. Maybe it was 4,500. They had to calculate how many were going to die. But there was one fellow who just didn't. Well, he wasn't on the inside. He was in charge of security at Morgan Stanley on the top floor. Top two floors, 1,700 people. And while the loudspeaker was blasting, saying, "Stay at your seats," he was rushing up and down the aisles with a blowhorn saying, "We're under terrorist attack. Get out." He got those 1,700 people out within 2 or 3 minutes, and they all escaped. Unfortunately, he went back in, and he was killed. But they were planning on them dying as well. That's why they locked the doors to the roof so nobody could be evacuated by helicopter as they were initially. And that's, of course, they had to know exactly what was going to happen. That's the only way you could have had to be able to plant a passport with the names of one of the hijackers on it, supposedly got out of his pocket, out of the flaming wreckage of the plane in the North Tower, out of the flaming wreckage in the North Tower, and drifting down without even a singe on it, and found a block and a half away. And we have the articles out of the 911 Commission staff report talking about that passport. And the same thing happened, although they did manage to singe the passport just a little bit up the site where 93 went down in Pennsylvania. But you know, how gullible can the American people really be? Do they honestly believe that somehow that magic passport was able to get out of the hijacker's pocket and out of the flaming wreckage of the plane in the building and out of the flaming wreckage within the building and float down unsinged and be picked up and by a passerby and just happen to be turned in? How did that happen? Well, the chances are it's about 1 in a trillion that it could have happened, and probably not that often. Somebody knew who was supposed to be on that plane. Somebody planted the passport, because all of this was planned ahead of time. And anybody who doubts it really needs to read a book we carry called See No Evil by Robert Baer, who worked for the CIA, who quoted one of the highest-ranking government officials in the CIA saying, "When the dust finally clears after 9/11, the public will not look upon this as a failure of American intelligence, but as a triumph for American intelligence." How could the death of 3,000 people be a triumph? Well, if you wanted to get us into a war, it is a triumph. if you wanted to save American lives, it's not. We'll be back in just a moment with Garland Favorito, and we're going to let him do the talking and explain to us his views of what really happened that day.
Four tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, Dr. Stan back here. Garland, you go ahead. I'm going to be quiet for a while.
Well, Stan, I wanted to comment on, follow up on one point you made that I think was very, very interesting. You mentioned about the numbers, the death toll that the media described, and they were, on any time, whenever there's a catastrophe of any type, the numbers reported in the media are always extremely low. you'll hear that maybe three people died or were killed in a tragedy, and it turns out later there are hundreds. But as you mentioned, in 9/11, for some strange reason, the exact opposite occurred, and it occurred, it's the only time that I ever recall, when deaths were overestimated. As you mentioned, I think the count started at 15,000, then they went to 10, and 7,500, and I actually tracked all that in my book. And I found that rather intriguing. And the book, by the way, was actually the first book published that questioned the official version of 9/11, even though the book deals a lot with the Clinton impeachment. The second edition did cover a lot of that information. And one of the things that I thought was kind of strange was that the people in the FBI, as you mentioned, who seemed to have actually helped facilitate 9/11 by sabotaging field investigations, these people were actually promoted in various ways after they were found to have been participating in that and actually sabotaging the investigations. So I guess there were, there were actually four different FBI field investigations that could have prevented 9/11. There was the investigation in Arizona, the famous Ken Williams memo, back to headquarters, and where Hanji Hanjour was one of the alleged hijackers, was taking flight training. He warned headquarters that he thought something was suspicious there. We had the investigation in Minnesota, Zacharias Massawi, and that was, again, sabotaged by FBI headquarters, according to the legal counsel in Minnesota, and her famous memo to Director Mueller. Then we had a Chicago money laundering investigation into Saudi Arabian businessmen believed to be funding terrorists. That was by Robert Wright, who was eventually represented by Judicial Watch. That investigation was brought down by the U.S. Justice Department and stopped cold. And probably the most amazing of all, though, was the one in San Diego, out there near you, where they had two of the alleged hijackers were actually living with an FBI informant within a year before 9/11, specifically from the months, I believe, from September of 2000 through December of 2000. An FBI informant actually hosted two of these hijackers. And these were the same two alleged hijackers that were let into the country because the CIA refused to put them on the State Department watch list and notify the State Department. And all of this has come out in congressional testimony. So it's just an amazing track record of more than just incompetence. But it seems to be, as you have said more eloquently than I, a deliberate attempt to allow 9/11 to happen.
Well, I think the most incredible story was when the hijacker turned himself into the Newark, New Jersey office and said, "I'm a hijacker. I was trained in Pakistan. I'm part of a cell of six or eight people, and we're going to hijack a 747, and we're going to crash it into your buildings." So what does the FBI do? Well, of course, they do what anybody would do. They investigated him. They checked out his story. They gave him two lie detector tests. He did fine. And so they sent the information to Washington, D.C. And what did Washington, D.C. say? Get rid of him. Get out of the country. Send him back to England, where he came from. Not only that, but send white agents along with him, FBI agents, to make sure he gets out of the country. Now, logic would tell you that if somebody came in and said, "I'm a hijacker and I'm part of a cell, and of course, why don't we try to get him in touch with the rest of the cell and find out who they are?" That would be the logical thing. They didn't want to find out who the hijackers were, because I think they already knew exactly who they were. In fact, have you ever wondered why they haven't taken Massawi back into court? Because Massawi says, "Look, I was being followed from the moment I came in the United States. I was followed. They were tracking me every step of the way. They knew everything that I was doing." And then, of course, he was this fellow, Nicholas Berg, who was decapitated. Why was Massawi meeting with Nicholas Berg down in Norman, Oklahoma? What's wrong with this picture? And if you haven't heard any of these things, the information is up on the internet. We can get it for you. We have the articles, you know, even from the initial Senate investigation about the hijacker who defected to the United States. And they sent him out of the United States. We'll be right back.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been secret societies. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago. And it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Garland, go ahead. And, of course, Garland shares my concern that the American people are not being told the truth. But we would not be in a war in Iraq had they not had an incident. They had to have an incident. And if you read the writings of the Project for the New American Century, of which Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz and John Bolton and Elliot Abrams and so many people in the current administration are all members, and you can go to their website, don't take what I say as gospel, their website, newamericancentury.org, newamericancentury.org. Read their booklet there. It's about 90 pages, called Rebuilding America's Defenses, and they talk about how we're not going to be able to pursue our goals of course, dominating the world, unless there is a catastrophic and catalyzing event like another Pearl Harbor. Unless there is a catastrophic and catalyzing event like another Pearl Harbor. Ladies and gentlemen, what were they talking about? Could it be like another Pearl Harbor, like 9-1-1? Go ahead, Garland.
And of course, Stan, that document, as you well know, was written in 1998.
No, it was that document was written in 2000, just a year before.
That's right. I'm sorry. You're right. It was formed in 1998.
Right. It was the Project for the New American Century was formed long before. And it's all up there on their website. Don't take what I say, Garland. If what we're saying is true, then nobody's family or future or freedom are safe. If what we're saying is false, why prove it's false? Go to the enemy's website, and these people are the enemies of freedom. They are the neocons, which are really fascists, and of course they control the current administration, but they organized, and you can see their statements when they organized, and then their letters and all their information is up there, and of course their goal is to plunge us into World War III.
And Stan, I guess I'll just go ahead and finish up on the FBI point, and then we can go to the Iraq as well. What I found intriguing was the fact that all of these sabotaging of the field office investigations all came back to a certain unit in FBI headquarters. And so I wanted to kind of defeat the argument that people make, and they say, oh, well, 9/11 would require this vast conspiracy of cover-up. Well, it doesn't actually have to be that vast. So, for example, the FBI is probably the classic case where they had all of these field investigations going on, all of these agents in the field sincerely trying to do their job as best they could. They're turning up good evidence like a good FBI agent could, and they submit this to headquarters, and suddenly their investigation gets sabotaged in one way or another. And I'll give you three or four examples of this that just fascinated me, and it probably will fascinate your listeners as well. The FISA investigation, let's take Zacharias Moussaoui out of Minnesota. The general counsel there, Colleen Rowley, tried to get an investigation going there with them. But through the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that's what FISA stands for, FISA. And the National Security Law Unit there, Marion Spike Bowman, the Deputy General Counsel, just refused to allow that to take place. And it turns out, of course, that possibly could have prevented 9/11, but even though he sabotaged that investigation, he ended up receiving a Presidential Emeritus Rank Award and something at least a 20%, possibly as high as a 35% pay increase.
Well, now, why would you give somebody a bonus and give them a merit award when, of course, they were primarily responsible for allowing the attack to occur? That just doesn't make sense unless somebody needed an attack if they were going to take us into war.
Well, exactly, and you know, in business, you are promoted for doing what your superiors want you to do, and I think the same is true in government. I guess it was Senator Grassley from Iowa who asked the FBI why was this man promoted and given such a raise, and basically their answer was, in a nutshell, after three pages, that he worked a lot of hours.
Well, I think that people have to understand that nobody was held responsible. I mean, there are 3,000 Americans are dead. And as a direct result of that, we're plunged into a war. Of course, 100,000 Iraqis, that figure is accepted throughout much of the world. 100,000 Iraqis and civilians and soldiers have died. This figure has been used on the floor of the House of Representatives. And 1,400 Americans are now dead in Iraq, and another 450 are dead in Afghanistan, and 10,000 casualties, wounded, another 20,000, some sort of other illnesses nobody even wants to talk about. But it all goes back to what happened on 9/11. Why wasn't anybody ever punished? Why wasn't anybody held responsible unless they did exactly what they were supposed to do?
And I think that's the only reasonable conclusion you can come to. Here's another example. In the same warrant, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, Michael Moppe, he was a supervisory special agent, and he was actually implicated through congressional testimony and documents for removing information that may have helped obtain that warrant against Misawi, and he ended up getting a promotion to the field supervisor in Cleveland, Ohio. Very strange here. So there are two, you know, and any one of these could be a coincidence. But we need, of course, these people should also be able to defend themselves here. So I hate to be in an accusatory position here, but this just doesn't make any sense. And you continue on with the same thing, the same area. Maltby's boss, David Frasca, he was the chief of the FBI Radical Fundamentalist Unit, and he was implicated as well in thwarting the same investigation and ignoring the memo from Ken Williams in Phoenix about flight training, where Hanji Hajjour, one of the alleged hijackers, was receiving flight training. So once again, these three individuals, all in this same little group, all seem to have been able to shut down three of the four FBI field investigations all by themselves. And I certainly don't understand why two of them would receive significant promotions afterwards. One could possibly be a coincidence, but when you have two or three, then that indicates a pattern that proves, I think, exactly what you just said, Stan.
And, of course, any effort to bring lawsuits against the government or against the Saudis so that you can get discovery and so you can get the information into court has been effectively blocked. Why are they blocking? If there's nothing to conceal, let's bring it all out in the open and put an end to all this speculation.
And that's right. Of course, as you mentioned, the Bush administration has just thrown up obstacle after obstacle on the 9/11 investigation ever since it started. They refused to have the investigation, refused to have an independent investigation. Then they put in just a variety of rules as to who was going to be on the panel.
They picked the chief of the panel, and they passed on everybody there, and then they censored the report after it came through. How could you have an independent investigation where the very people being investigated pick the panel and pick the Senator Keene, Governor Keene, and then censor the report? And why were literally hundreds of people who testified in secret, why was all that sealed so it won't be released for 30 to 50 years? If there's nothing to conceal, why are they concealing it?
It sounds like the Kennedy assassination all over again.
Like deja vu all over again, isn't it?
Sealed documents for 50 to 75 years.
And in fact, those documents on the murder of President Kennedy, and that happened over 40 years ago, they are still sealed. Why are we trying to keep Lee Harvey Oswald from finding what happened that day? Are we trying to keep the Russians from finding what happened, or Fidel Castro? Are we trying to keep the American people from knowing the truth? And if we live in a free society, why are they concealing the information?
Exactly. There can only be one real reason, and I think you've answered that question probably better than I could. And the answer is ugly, but it's something that we actually have to consider. That and this is a pattern. You know, Dr. Stan, you know, it's not just this one incident of coincidence. There is a pattern going back decades and even really 200 years of the people that we have elected and nominated to office. These people have turned and they have sabotaged the country against us, and they have implemented all sorts of evil things for 200 years and basically have destroyed the Constitution. And this is just another ongoing example of some really, really serious corruption.
Well, Ghana, why don't you tell our listeners how they could get access to your books, your writings, and, of course, your website?
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. My book is published through Black Forest Press out there in California, in San Diego, and they have a toll-free number. It's 888-808-5440.
Give that one more time.
Sure. It's 888-808-5440. And you can also find it through the web at blackforestpress.com.
That's Blackfriar?
Black Forest. Black Forest.
Black Forest, okay.
.com. They are in the law and politics section. You will find it there. But it might be easier just to call and Tony's out there. I think she's standing by now, so she'll be glad to take anyone's order. And also, I do have some of these reports that she'll be glad to distribute via email.
Now, what reports are they that you're going to be distributing?
I'm sorry.
What reports? Are these some of the essays that you've written?
Right. The Iraq WMD report, which we can talk about, you've touched on it already, how the invasion of Iraq was really planned years in advance. And there were a variety of motives. As you mentioned earlier, it's not just profit, but there are a lot of motives that come together for a country like ours, who supposedly treasures freedom, to go and invade another country and try to take their wealth away. It's just it's very disgusting. But the report, of course, goes through all the motives for that, and all of the lies that were told, and it's just quite amazing.
Well, I think anybody can go to the newamericancensory.org website. That's newamericancensory.org website. That's the project for the New American Century website. Look and see the letters they were sending to the president in 1998. In the year 2000, they're rebuilding America's defenses. It's a really a booklet. It's about 80 or 90 pages. It's up there. Of course, you can get it all in my Iraq, the Untold Story syllabus. We've just taken their material and put it out so you can get it. And, of course, we tell you where to look so that you don't get lost in all the verbiage. But you can read Paul O'Neill's book. And he was the Secretary of Treasury. And I think it's on page 96 of his book. He talks about going to the meeting of the National Security Council in January, the end of January, the 1st of February of the year 2001. We're talking 8 or 9 months before the 9/11 attack. And there is Dick Cheney, and there's Paul Wolfowitz, and there's Rumsfeld. And what are they talking about? How we're going to get the American people to go along with a preemptive attack on Iraq. How we're going to go to war with Iraq. How we're going to divide up the oil in Iraq. I mean, they had this all planned ahead of time. The book by, what was his name, who ran for the presidency, General Clark. And he basically talks about, it's called Winning Wars, and he talks about how he went to the Pentagon and met a friend there who said, oh yeah, we've been planning on all these wars in the Middle East for many years. We want to just drain the swamp there. General Zinni, in his book, in his interview on 60 Minutes, said long before the 9/11 attack, they were having their war plans for how they were going to attack Iraq. Those boys over there are not fighting for the reasons we're being told. They're courageous boys. They're fighting for our country. They believe they are. What we need to do is get the truth out here at home. And, of course, put the people who are responsible for lying to the American people on trial for treason. Because these people, according to the Patriot Act definition, are terrorists. They want to change our way of life. They want to change our form of government. They are using what happened on 9/11 to establish a police state. What the Office of Homeland Security is, well, if you look at it in German, it's the SS. Now, that's what they call the SS. In German, was the Homeland Security. You know, they know exactly what they're doing. They're collecting dossiers on every American citizen now. Get involved now. Find out if it's really true before it's too late.
And Dr. Tanning, as you mentioned, they're so powerful, they put it right in front of your face. They don't even try to hide it. As you mentioned, you can go right to their website, see the documents for your own personal observance, and just... It's just absolutely amazing.
What's the name of your book, Colin?
The name of my book is Our Nation Betrayed.
A Nation Betrayed.
And which it certainly is, and it's been betrayed, of course, in many, many different ways. And this book covers, the Clinton impeachment. It covers the 9/11, election 2000, basically that period of time for about 10 years, which is going to go down in history, I think, is one of the most really milestones where, you know, there are some significant milestones in American history, probably World War I and II, the phasing in of, the IRS and the Federal Reserve and the income tax back in the 1913s. And Then, of course, the World War II, and then and probably this period, I believe, around the 2000, from 95 to 2002 or 3, is going to go down in history as another period where we lost so much freedom because of these types of terrorist attacks and the laws that were implemented, as you mentioned, the Patriot Act being one of them, and now, of course, we have Patriot Act II. It's just a period where we have really, really gone backwards in the way America should have been going, and I think it needs to be documented.
I think it's so important as well, and I appreciate everything you do. And what about a website? Where can people get your information on the web?
My information is published on a variety of different websites, but probably the one that would lead you to it would be the blackforestpress.com, www.blackforestpress, all one word.
All right, Black Forest Press. Well, Garland, I really appreciate your being with us this afternoon. Sorry for all the problems we had to begin with, but, of course, we just had a little short circuit there. We got it worked out. Wasn't it, Grandma? God bless. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Dr.
Bye-bye. And, of course, our guest has been Garland Favorito, and we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up today's program here at Radio Liberty.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, if you'd like to get more information, we carry a number of excellent books on what happened on 9/11. One of them is Paul Thompson's book, The Terror Timeline. Now, we have a new four-tape set. It's called 9/11 Update. You'll hear my two-hour interview with Paul Thompson. You'll hear a two-hour interview with Jimmy Walter, a multimillionaire who spent literally millions and millions of dollars of his own money running 2,800 television ads in New York City, going into the background of what happened that day and how obviously Building 7 had explosives in it. That's why Building 7 came down. There is no logical explanation for that building, which was not hit by much of anything at all, to come down with a controlled explosion on the day of the 9/11 attack. And Jimmy Walters has put out millions and millions of dollars, got the conspiracy of silence from the media. Why don't the American people know about Jimmy Walter and what he's done? Why, very simply, because they control the media. So if you want to get our four-tape set 9/11 update to verify that the media is controlled, I suggest the book, The New Media Monopoly, by Professor Ben Bagdakian. This is the seventh edition of the book that points out that five mega corporations dominate the American media and essentially control what the American people hear, what they read, what they see, and ultimately what they believe. Certainly you would want to get the video, the Jihad in America, and of course a lot of this footage was shot back in 1988 by the FBI, and of course they knew all about the terrorist movement. They heard them talking about taking out the pillars of our financial institutions. Those were, of course, referring to the Twin Towers. This video was suppressed, actively suppressed in America. Jihad in America. It took me almost a year, 2 years, actually, to get copies available. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course we hope many of you will want to look more into what really happened there. You'd maybe like to just put this behind you, but believe me, we are involved in World War III. We're going after Iran. We're going after Syria. We are going to get attacks on the United States. We are going to lose our freedom unless there are enough people out there who are willing to take my challenge and determine whether we're saying is true. Go to newamericancensory.org. newamericancensory.org. Read their material, or better still, get our video, Iraq, the Untold Story. And that comes with a syllabus. And, of course, the syllabus will guide you through everything, both at newamericancensory.org, and help you to understand how all of the wars of the last century were created, including the current war in the Middle East, planned long ahead of time. And, of course, it was planned for one specific purpose, to involve us in World War III. People will tell you this is about profit, and it is. But behind that are the dark spirits of forces that rule the world. Now, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you should, but we're making a very, very special offer. We have an opportunity now to reprint the book at a very low price if we can print enough copies of the book. So we're making an offer to you today. You can get 62 copies of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which ordinarily retails at $12.95. You can get 62 copies at $2 each. That would be $124 for 62 copies. You're going to have to pay the postage, and we prefer sending it out the United Parcel. We can send it out media mail for about $16 anywhere in the United States, but we can't track it, and of course it can get lost, whereas United Parcel may be a little bit more expensive, but at least we know where it is, and we can be sure that you get it. If you'd like to undertake this and help us so we can reprint a good number of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which I think puts things that are going on to real clear perspective, because it goes into the spiritual nature of the battle we're fighting, give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. We're only offering 40 cases. I think we have almost 10, 9 to 10 already sold. And, of course, when we get to the 40, why, we're going to have to cut off the order. So the offer, so if you're interested in getting a case of our books for $124 plus shipping, give us, and if you're in California, of course, we have to charge money so that they can pay all those excessive fees to the various government bureaucrats, a couple of $100,000, along with their bonuses and all those special benefits, because they're doing such a good job for us here in California, have to charge 8%, but across the country we don't. Give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of our January newsletter, which is just coming off, it's actually a book review of a John Perkins' book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Now, we carry that book, The Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and we'll be putting together a four-tape set on my interviews with John Perkins. Really one of the more important books, because it's one of the first times one of the men on the inside who worked for NSA has had the courage to come forward and tell the truth. And it took him 20 years to get the courage to do it. They threatened him. They bribed him. They did everything to keep him from getting this book out. None of the major publishing houses would carry it. It was published by a small company up in San Francisco that publishes textbooks, mostly. Confessions of an Economic Hitman, really one of the more important books we've read. And of course, my book review will send you free of charge. We carry the book. Or if you want the four-tape set, 1-800-544-8927. As for Confessions of an Economic Hitman, the book, the four-tape set, or the free newsletter. And then, of course, understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. And what are you doing? Christianity's under attack today. Our churches, our seminaries have been infiltrated. We're changing the music and the message of the church. Pray for America. Pray for revival. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. And remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are at war. America, our future, our families, we're under attack today.